The U.S. opened its new Israeli embassy in Jerusalem today. The move has sparked protests in Gaza. Some protesters have been killed and others injured. Earlier this morning, I spoke with the BBC's Rich Preston for our weekly look at the top international stories of the coming days. And we started in Israel, where I asked him for the latest on the situation there.
Yes, Mark. Well, I'm sure your listeners have been watching this story closely. There have been several weeks of protests now along the border. Palestinians have been calling it the Great March of Return. Today's embassy opening has inflamed tensions. Now, at the time you and I are talking, Mark, 7:30 in the morning, Palestinian officials are saying that today alone, at least 41 people have been killed by Israeli forces. That's in addition to the more than 40 killed over the last few weeks. Now, that's partly because of the firm stance taken by Israeli forces, including the use of live ammunition against protesters. Israel says the strong response is merited because Palestinians are using the protests as a cover to launch attacks. And it's true that people have been throwing stones at Israeli soldiers and even flying kites loaded with explosives over the barrier. But critics say Israel's tactics are heavy-handed. Palestinian officials have called the events of today a massacre.
Rich, are we expecting more activity tomorrow?
Well, unfortunately, yes, we can't expect the violence to be quelled. Today may be when Israel celebrates its independence, but tomorrow is a day Palestinians call Nakba Day, or the Day of Catastrophe. They see it as the day when they were forced from their land. The BBC's Yolande Nell has been to one of the refugee camps that's home to some of these people and spoke to a woman who wants a right to return to the land her family lost.
We want to go back to our land. Those are our lands that the Jews took, and this is our right.
In the protest camp, I meet Najla. Like most of Gaza's 2 million residents, she's a refugee.
We have to return to Al-Aqsa Mosque and all our lands. All of the land is Palestine.
It's the BBC's Yolande Nell reporting there. Now, some in Israel say the refugees have no right to return and that those who've identified as Palestinian should become citizens of Jordan or Lebanon or wherever they've been living for the past 70 years. So tomorrow, Tuesday, unfortunately, expecting more protests along the border between Israel and Palestine and in the Gaza area.
All right, Rich, to South America now. On Sunday, an election is due in Venezuela, which is a country, its economy is in tatters. The political system has been disrupted. Does it seem as though people are looking to vote for change there?
Well, it's hard to say, Mark. Now, we say the election is due because it's already actually been postponed once. And we're not really expecting a massive turnout, partly because the opposition has said it will be boycotting the vote. They say the election is fraudulent and illegal. Most, in fact, of President Nicolas Maduro's top challengers have been barred from running. The country is currently governed by a constituent assembly made up of Mr. Maduro's allies. The country's closest neighbours have warned that he's forming a dictatorship, a view seconded by President Trump. If the vote goes ahead, it will be President Maduro seeking his sixth term in office.
How did Venezuela get to be in this much of a mess?
Well, it's tried for years to use its money from oil as a way to prop up the national economy. But as the price of oil tanked, mismanagement became more apparent and the country ran out of basic goods. It's worth adding, none of this has been helped by U.S. sanctions being imposed.
And of course, Rich, there were massive anti-government protests last year. Will the people who were part of those protests use this opportunity to cast their ballot, does it seem?
Well, it's really hard to say, and we'll have to wait and see. But with the main opposition party, the Democratic Unity Party, saying it's going to boycott the vote, we're not really sure. In fact, many have already voted, you could say, with their feet, by leaving the country. More than 500,000 Venezuelans have arrived in Colombia in the last 6 months, according to officials there. In March, the US said it would give Colombia $2.5 million in aid to help those fleeing. So if the election does go ahead, it will be this Sunday.
All right, Rich, let's end on a more positive story. Coming toward the end of the week, of course, the royal wedding. American Meghan Markle is marrying in to the British royal family. I've got to ask, will your TV be tuned to the ceremony?
Well, I'll actually be there reporting on it, Mark.
Oh, wow.
So I'll hopefully get a glimpse of some activity in person. Now, TVs up and down the country, however, will likely be tuned into the event. Royal family very popular here in the UK and, of course, amongst tourists. So it will be getting wall-to-wall coverage at home and abroad, especially in Commonwealth countries like Australia and Canada. It's worth flagging, of course, that there are people who are not fans of the royals, and they see this event as a huge waste of time, energy, and crucially, public money. Security costs alone have been estimated at some $30 million, all that borne by the public purse.
So what is the day itself looking like?
Well, it's happening in Windsor, about 20 miles outside of London. A ceremony followed by a procession through the town. Lots of pomp, lots of pageantry, and more than 600 guests at the ceremony itself. That's on top of more than 1,000 members of the public who've been invited to celebrate in the grounds of Windsor Castle, and many more who'll just be lining the streets, including this woman, Donna Werner, who's travelled all the way from Connecticut.
Now, this is what I'm going to wear the day of the wedding. I've got my tiara, which I'm going to make a veil. My daughter lives over there, so I already shipped over my tent, my little pink princess tent, a sleeping bag, camp chair, insulation for the ground, because I'm going to be sleeping on the streets for 3-4 nights.
So Donna, one of the many people looking forward to events at the weekend. It's worth adding there will be no political leaders at the wedding. Prime Minister Theresa May has not been invited, neither has President Trump, nor the friends of the royals, Barack and Michelle Obama. Nonetheless, the couple will be tying the knot on Saturday.
All right, Rich Preston, we'll be looking for you as part of that coverage. That's the BBC's Rich Preston. Rich, good to talk to you as always. Thank you.
Likewise, Mark. Thank you.